Well, I just thank God for the words that have gone before. It's a great joy to be here today. I mean, just to walk around outside and to hear the birds singing and to see the trees and everything growing, just reminds you who's on the throne, right? Things are still growing because the sustainer of life is still sustaining. And we are still alive today because He's sustaining us. I would like to do a topical message this afternoon and just call it the God of Hope and Pandemic. You know, we've already had a lot of that going on today, but I think it's needed because of the extremity of the things that are going on. So in 2 Corinthians 1, 2, I'd like to start there and read just the first couple of verses there. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I hope that this afternoon you would be comforted, because we are in a tribulation. And tribulation means pressure. There's a lot of pressure that's on society right now, on the entire world. In fact, we are in a great event right now that will be recorded in history under many titles. We're in the event that will be recorded as the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020 and the race riots of 2020 and Obamagate. And the economic collapse of 2020. Yeah. But you know, the Church of Jesus Christ has lived through many of these things before. We lived through the Detroit riots of 1967, the L.A. riots with Rodney King. The Church made it through the bubonic plague of 1347, where 200 million people, it is estimated, died. Wow. We made it through smallpox of 1520, 56 million died. The Spanish flu of 1918 and 19, 40 to 50 million people died. And those are just the worst plagues I looked at. There's many more epidemics and pandemics that have gone on through the time. Not to mention the HIV/AIDS pandemic, where up to 35 million people are estimated to have died. Currently, we're at 517,000 worldwide. Now, I looked yesterday. That number's probably changed. And we ask the question, whenever these things are going on, what is all this suffering about? Well, there's two ways. There's only two groups of people in the world, believers and unbelievers. And believers are suffering, and unbelievers are suffering at this time. But you see, we don't respond to suffering the same way that other people respond. The church may suffer in all of these events that take place. We may lose the loved ones, but our suffering is different. You see, where they are suffering in a way where they're under this fearful anticipation of judgment, we understand that suffering is perfecting us for glory. And we have a sure word of truth and a rock under our feet which to stand on at this time. So I just want to remind you of a few texts and go through some texts today and remind you of some things so that you will be comforted and you'll understand what's going on right now. In Matthew 16:13, first, I'd just like to remind you that whenever Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" You know, that's the question of the day. Whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered rightly, did he not?
Yes.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That's the promise to the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. So I want you to just be reminded that Jesus Christ is your husband, and He's keeping His bride. Not only that, He's purifying His bride at this time. He is the Alpha and the Omega. And all who stand with Him have conquered death already. Jesus Christ abolished death and brought immortality and life to light. So don't fear, beloved. Remember Romans 8, 37 and 39. This is a go-to for Baptists, isn't it? I hope you never get tired of hearing these verses. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And we will continue to conquer in this world through pandemics, epidemics, economic recessions and depressions. Amen. We will conquer. And as we were talking about before, if they burn all of this down in this judgment of God, we'll take this book and we'll build another one.
That's right.
Till He come again.
Amen. That's right.
That's how we did it the first time.
Yeah.
So there is nothing that come between us and separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
And when you're safe in Christ and you're abiding in that presence of love, then you will be calm. You'll be able to look at the things going on and you'll realize, God, I know You're sovereign. You got this. You're in control of what's going on and I trust You. When you've tasted that love of God, it gives you that foundation to trust Him in every situation, even when it looks like things aren't going right. Psalms 125, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about His people from henceforth, even till tomorrow. No. Even forever. Not just till tomorrow. Forever. Our God is an eternal God, and He is around about His people. And so I just want to encourage you, as we live through this God-ordained event that's going on in the world right now, this is God's judgment on the world. So I'd just like to talk to you about three things. First, what is God doing now in 2020? First, He's judging the world in righteousness. That's what He has always been doing ever since the fall. Psalms 9, 7 and 8, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared His throne for judgment. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The sovereignty of God is the most comforting doctrine we have in times like this, to understand that He is the God of righteous judgment. He is holy in all His ways. And we need to trust Him in this ongoing judgment in the world right now. Well, I think Romans 1 is a commentary. It's a historical commentary for what's been going on in the world since the fall of man. But it has such an application to us today in America. I don't have time to go through all of that, but there's one verse in particular I'd like to look at in Romans 1 just to help you understand what's going on, just to remind you what's going on. First of all, I want to start in verse 18 and I'll get to verse 28. It says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed." Now, that's present tense, past tense, or future tense. That's present tense. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven right now. It always has been. Anytime you look at that verse, it's always going to be a present tense verb. God's wrath is being revealed in the world right now. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. We learn from that in this context of this passage here in Romans, that men by nature reject God. We're born God rejectors. And what happened whenever our first parents, as was talked about a little bit this morning, is whenever we rejected God and His Word and His love and His perfection, we were turned in on ourselves. And we became lovers of our own selves. And this wrath is being revealed against men for rejecting Him. And there's three levels of rejection. God says three times in Romans chapter 1, He rejected us. God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. And one of the manifestations of God giving people over when they're worshiping themselves is to every kind of sexual wickedness and sin. The sexual ethic of God is one man, one woman for life. Now that's the goal. And there's forgiveness when we fail in those areas. But that is the standard of the Holy Word of God. The third God gave them over here in Romans chapter 1 is that God gave them over in verse 28. It says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. God gave them over. So this is a judgment of God. When God gives unbelievers, God rejectors, when He gives the wicked over to a reprobate mind, He's giving them over to a mind that cannot think right. The madness that you see going on right now is explained by that verse. That's what we see going on en masse in America today. They've been given over to a reprobate mind, which means a depraved mind, a corrupt mind. Corrupt would be like, if you ever had corrupt, spoiling meat, you know what that smells like. Dead animal, corrupt. They give them over to a corrupt mind. Filthy, depraved minds. And that's a judgment upon America. And the madness that you see going on right now. Everybody's got different ways, different laws, different rules. We even see our CDC and our scientists have said one thing one week and another the next. But I want to remind you that when that is going on in the world, and you see God's wrath being poured out in the world like that, that the church of God and those that trust Christ are safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. That's the picture that we have. Whenever God's wrath was poured out where He destroyed humanity except for eight souls, the ark is Jesus Christ. And those eight souls were safe in Jesus Christ. And whenever the judgment came upon the land of Goshen, how many plagues actually touched Goshen and God's people? Not a one. So when all of this is going on in the world right now, God is judging this America, rightly so. 60 million innocents slaughtered. Judges who can't make their mind up on which side they should be voting. When the most wicked rise to the top in leadership positions. These are all judgments upon this country. But I want you to remember that you're safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. So as God is judging this world in righteousness, brothers and sisters, as He always has, and He will until He come again to the final judgment, we see that the response to God's judgments is also a judgment. Panic and fear is also a judgment. Gideon, 1249 B.C. Y'all remember old Gideon? Gideon was called to be one of the judges of Israel. And he came and first thing he did is destroyed idols. And then he comes up against the Midianites and he's going to lead Israel against the Midianites. And I know y'all remember the story. He starts out with a big army, you know. And they get to this brook and God weeds some of them out. And after that, God whittles them down so there's only 300 of them. And why does God do that? So that men would not take pride in the victory. So that God would get the glory. Not only that, but these 300 men are left in Job, Judges 7 and 22. It says, the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled. So they don't even have to fight with swords. They just blow the trumpet. And those armies get in such fear that they sword themselves to death. Isn't that what's going on in our country right now? All of those who have rejected God, they're sorting themselves to death. Panic and fear, burning down their own neighborhoods. It's madness. Reprobate minds. The judgment of God upon America, the judgment of God upon America is self-destruction of the wicked. They're self-destructing. I hope you're not responding with fear and panic. Now, I have to admit that with everything that's going on, and because we got way too much information coming at us, that there have been some times that I've had a little bit of, you know, trepidation thinking about, well, what, you know, what's going to happen here. But I keep coming back to the Word of God and remembering what's going on. Remembering what's going on. Another example, Jehoshaphat. 896 B.C. He's king in Judah. And he is a good king. But he did make some bad judgments. One of the bad judgments he made was he made a league with Ahab and Jezebel. And that angered God. And what does God do? He sends armies to surround Jerusalem. He sends armies to attack them. And Jehoshaphat repents after this and asks for help. So let's read this in 2 Chronicles in 20. In 2 Chronicles in 20 it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper.'" You want to prosper? Even in the midst of everything that's going on? Believe in the Lord. Believe his prophets. We got that written down. And you shall prosper. That's simple, isn't it? And when he had consulted with the people, I love this part. He appointed singers. He appointed singers unto the Lord so that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Did they do the ambushments? No. The Lord did. What did they do? They were singing praises to their God. We're pretty good at that, aren't we?
Amen.
We were this morning and this afternoon. When we sing praises unto God, we're rattling their cages. We're rattling their cages. So fear and panic of God is sent upon these armies. As we see this over and over again, there are several other examples of this. We see examples where Hezekiah prays and the angel of the Lord goes and kills 200,000. God is the Lord of panic over the wicked. It's a judgment. Remember in Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked flee when no man pursues." Is that not what we see today? The wicked flee when no one is pursuing them. I'll just tell you from the perspective of I was a scientist for 30 years. Never in the history of the world have we quarantined the entire world in a pandemic or epidemic. Men have gotten so arrogant that they think they can control things that they cannot control. Now, that does not mean that we don't need to be wise. There has been social distancing. All these things that are done are wise things to do, and they do help. But shutting down the entire world, that's never been done. The wicked flee when no man pursues. But the righteous are bold as a lion. We don't have anything to fear. We're in the ark. So God is judging the world in righteousness, as He always is. In the present. And the fear and the panic that comes is also the judgment of God. He sends the panic and He allows wicked rulers also to arise in times of crisis. And we see that they're furthering their power and they're doing more, making more mad decisions that are just making the situation worse in many cases. Not always, but in many cases. And we should pray for our leaders. We're commanded to do that. We need to keep praying for them that they might come to repent. They might come to see who's really in charge. And so God is always judging the world. That's the first thing. Number two is the panic and the fear is a judgment on top of judgment. When God, in turning them over to reprobate minds that can't think and reason. If you're not standing on this word, you cannot think and reason properly. But God sends these things for a purpose. What is the purpose that this is sent upon the earth? That men might repent. So I'd like to look thirdly at what is our response. What should our response be at this time? Well, it's the same thing Jesus told us to do anytime there's a calamity in Luke 13, right? It's the first thing we must do. In Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all? You see, that's the first thing we always think about, isn't it? I've even seen some religious leaders, whenever a hurricane or calamity comes, they would say, well, they were just a bunch of sinners down there. That's why that happened. Do you think they're more sinners than anybody else because they suffer this? Jesus said, I tell you, no. This is our response every time. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The response of the church of God anytime we see calamity in the world is we need to humble ourselves and understand who's in charge. And repent. Or we shall all likewise perish. There was a tower that fell too. We are to repent, believers, and we should be leading the way in that. And so I would ask you now, what kind of repentance do we need to be doing? What kind of repentance should the church be doing at this time? I mean, we should always be examining ourselves, right? Using the Word of God. We're to examine ourselves before we come to the communion table each time to take a look at our life. A good way to do that is to think about, if I've been home a lot lately, how I've been spending my time. What have I been thinking about? And I'll tell you, what you spend your time on and what you spend your money on and what you spend your thoughts on will tell you who your God is. We live in a land that is prosperous, very prosperous. I'd read in a Forbes magazine article some years ago that the bottom 20% of earners in the United States are equal to the top 20 in Russia. And there's four or five other countries like that. So we are a wealthy country. And you know the Bible says about wealthy people, right? It's that we're in danger. We're in danger of trusting in our stuff rather than trusting in our God. We got brothers and sisters in Africa. They go out and work each day and they get paid at the end of the day. And the money they get, they go buy food for that day. And that's it. And they might even have a deeper faith than we do. Because they have to trust on God each day for their daily bread. So what do we need to be repenting on? We need to be leading the way. The next thing we should do in response to this is submit. We should not charge God foolishly in this judgment. We need to separate being a citizen of America and being a citizen of the kingdom of God. Let us not charge foolishly. Job didn't. Did Job charge God foolishly when all of those judgments came upon him? Job didn't even have access to what was going on. I mean, we do now. We get to read Job and we know that there's this thing going on, which is hard to understand, but it's right there.
Yeah.
That Satan comes to him and says, God says, have you seen my servant Job? He's so righteous. He's holy and righteous. He was a holy man. He was. And what did Satan say? He said, do you know that Job only trusts you because of everything that you've given? And God said, all right. Take it away. And in this whole story, we have the proof that true faith cannot be destroyed.
Amen.
You can take away the money.
Right.
You can take away the health, and true faith cannot be destroyed.
Amen. Praise
and we read there in verse 20, Job rose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down on the ground. What was his response to the calamity? He worshipped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And this is the evidence that we have that God did not. It says, in all this, Job sinned not. We need to be careful when we see calamity come that we don't speak wrongfully.
Amen.
He did not charge God foolishly. We also need to have courage at a time like this. This is another thing we need in response to what's going on in the world today. We need to have courage. The alternative to the panic and the fear that you see is courage. We of all people have the resources to have courage, don't we? When we have been raised from the dead spiritually so that we understand what's going on, we have all the resources we need.
Amen.
We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places,
yes,
in Christ. Access to all. In Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. That promise has been true for thousands of years now.
Amen.
It's still true today.
Amen.
So trust Him. Doug Wilson had this to say in a blog I read. He said, the virus drove the fear of a large mass of people. Then that fear drove public opinion. And then public opinion drove the politicians. And now fear of fines and unconstitutional laws and incursions on our civil liberties is possible because of fear, which is now in the hands of ungodly and unscrupulous politicians who will do anything and use anything to further the agenda that they have. So we're going to need some courage, aren't we?
Amen.
Our response is not to be driven by fear. We have been not given a spirit of fear, right?
Amen.
2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A spirit, power, love, and a sound mind. Isn't that great? Have you experienced that in your life? It seems like at times of crisis like this for the believer, we experience this more and more. Because God is also sifting us. He's putting us in a position where we have to trust Him more. And we've got to go read more and get into this Word more. If you spend all your time on your phones, or you spend all your time in the media, you're going to be afraid and panicking. Because it's nothing but propaganda and lie, mostly. There is some of it. The hard thing is trying to figure out what isn't. So we have to be informed, but I tell you, not too much. Because God designed you. He designed you to run on truth. Your mind is to run on truth like a car is made to run on gasoline. You wouldn't put water in the gasoline of a Corvette, would you? Well, you're a lot more valuable than a Corvette. And the fuel you run on is a premium fuel. And that fuel is the Word of truth. One of the things that really brought this light to me recently in studying Romans, that I was going through Romans, we got to chapter 6, all the way down in verse 11, and I discovered that every verb all the way up to that point, well, I'll just say there's the first imperative verb, the first command in Romans, you don't even get to till chapter 6. So you got to know 5.5 chapters of truth before you come to the point where you can obey these commands. It's important that we know truth. And we've got to saturate our minds in truth. We've got to read the Word. Meditate on the Word. And obey the Word.
Amen.
Sound mind, full of love and power. That's the opposite of the reprobate mind. Opposites. Going different directions. One's on a broad way, the other's on the narrow way. In Romans 6:7, I think Marvin already read this today, but for he that is dead is freed from sin. And I said that we have all the resources we need to have courage at this time, is understanding what's going on there in that chapter. You're dead to sin, which means you're dead to the power of sin, not the presence. You still have the presence of sin, but you no longer have to obey that taskmaster. It says in there that you're already raised from the dead spiritually, waiting for the body to catch up. We're already raised from the dead spiritually. Death has no more hold on Christ, and because we're in Christ and united to Him in this loving relationship and fellowship, nothing can get between us and Christ. So we should not fear like the wicked, because we have nothing to fear. When we understand our freedom in Christ, that death has no more hold over us, what's left to fear? Oh, death, where is thy? Oh, grave, where is thy? It doesn't have one anymore. We've already escaped that. What have we got to fear? So have courage and trust, because our Father has this in hand.
Amen.
Doug Wilson said this, courage is a present virtue. Looking at past instances of courage is boasting. And looking at how courageous you will be in the future is daydreaming. Courage is now. And courage brings liberty. And parents, we need to be parenting with courage. We need to be parenting with everything we got right now. Because I'm telling you that the world and the education systems of this country are doing everything they can to indoctrinate your children in paganism. So you got to be parenting now like you've never parented before. You need to be studying parenting. We got a lot of good teachers in the Church of Christ that can teach, that teach how to parent. And we got to be studying that. We got to be thinking about our kids. If you got kids, you should have you should be studying your kids. You should have notes. You should sit down together when you're raising kids together and talk with your spouses. How can we protect our kids? Give them the truth and teach them what's going on in the world so that they're not afraid. Because you know, if you're an afraid parent, your kids are going to be afraid too. But if you're living in confidence and faith, you can comfort your children with that comfort that God has given you. We also need to use wisdom at this time. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. See a lot of that going on right now too. I'll just give you an example. If I was in Philadelphia, I read about this story that took place there. There was a person who got on a bus and didn't have a mask on. And they beat him up. So I think if I knew that you're supposed to have a mask and I was going to a place where they require masks, I'd put a mask on because I wouldn't like to get beat up. See, the prudent man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the simple passes on and is punished. Mask and hand washing and thinking about how we even do communion. We've changed, made some changes with how we do communion. All of these things are good things to consider and maybe even make some changes permanently. Food hygiene and cleanliness and all of those things. They always say cleanliness is next to godliness. But in this case, it's serious. We have those that are at risk among us, and we need to be wise about how we do things. I've been praying all week for this meeting, Psalms 91, for this meeting. And I commend you, Psalms 91, at this time, to read that, meditate on it, memorize it. It says in there that the angels of God encamp around about His people, and no plague shall come near their dwelling.
Amen.
And so we need to know what the laws are. We need to obey them, not violate the word. There may be coming some times of civil disobedience, which that'll be a whole other conversation we might have to have regarding worship, because worship is essential. And so have courage, believer. God is really the one in power. He's allowed this pandemic to sift the nations in judgment. He's allowed the panic to purify His church, I think, and to increase our faith. And to drive us deeper into trust and repentance So let us be wise and consider and have courage and think about where we're going and how we interact with people. We also should not mock the wicked in this judgment. I heard our president do this. Let me read Proverbs 17:5. Whoso mocks the poor reproaches his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpunished. We don't need to look at what's going on in other communities, other places, and say, well, you know, that's their own fault because it's so and so and so. So make judgments. That's not what we should be doing. We shouldn't respond that way. We don't need to mock at them or be glad at the calamities that they're going. It should grieve us. It should mourn us, shouldn't it? That's what happened in Ezekiel chapter 9. I'll give you an example of that. The glory of God of Israel, in verse 3 and 9, was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was. So Ezekiel's having this vision to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Sounds like an angel. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And those that were sighing and crying for the abominations that were done in that nation were spared that judgment. I think we learn there how we are to be responding at this time. We need to be careful how we look at others' responses. It should grieve us. We need to evaluate it according to the Word of God, but we don't need to be glad at their calamities. So our response is to this is that we should repent. We should believe the truth. We should have courage at this time in this calamity. We're the ones that have the resources and the courage to speak the truth in love. All of this so that we can do what I read in the text in 2 Corinthians 1, 2 and 4. So that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we also are comforted of God. What do people do who don't know Christ when they have things happen? We see it going on right now. What about you? What's going to happen whenever things start blowing up around you? How would you respond to this? If you know Christ and you're in Christ, you've got everything you need. If there's any, you know, I would hope maybe that God might even do a work of grace in somebody's heart at this meeting. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. Amen.
Wouldn't that be great? I think that what's going on in the world right now is going to drive people to ask some questions, some hard questions. And you all need to be ready to have an answer when any man asks you, according to what Peter says, right?
Amen.
You need to be always ready to give an answer. I heard a story about a man that had sat on a pew in a church for 20 years and never heard a blooming thing. Thought he was a Christian. Thought he was a believer. Came every Sunday. He had the form of godliness but didn't have any power. And then one day God regenerated him on the bench. And he heard the gospel for the first time. Oh, I'd love to see that happen,
yeah,
wouldn't you?
Yeah, amen.
And there's some things to learn from that story. It's possible to think you're a believer and be deceived. You know, the devils believe and tremble and they're not saved. So there's a kind of belief that is not a saving kind of belief. But there is a believing unto salvation, a believing upon Christ to salvation that changes everything. It changes what you love and what you hate. It changes your attitudes. It changes your character. It changes your appetites. And it's the greatest change that will ever happen to somebody. I pray that God would bless His Word and that you would be comforted and encouraged at this time to remember God's in control of these things. And it is a tragedy to have to watch people who have rejected God go through such misery.
Amen.
But God is just in all that He does, and He is righteous. Let us close in a word of prayer. Holy Father, I just thank You for Your mercies. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to dig in deep into the doctrine and the Word. Help us, O God, to dig in deep and to love Your Word and to trust You and to remember what David said in Psalms 37, that he had never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. These things I pray in the name of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.